This is your host, Levent with Behind the Red, here today with Case out of New York City.
Look, yeah, they wanna be like me, Notorious and B.I.G. Said they want a picture, they ain't coming for free. You know this life ain't cheap. Diamond in the rough, I know that y'all see me. Yeah, all eyes on me.
How you doing today, man?
What's up, man? How's it going?
It's great. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for the invite. Like, I really, really appreciate it. I'm sorry if my dog barks here and there. He's a little crazy sometimes because he thinks he hears something. But
it's all good. So being based out of New York, like, what's it like being an artist in New York City? Like, I'm sure there's like a lot of culture that you can, you know, tap into, a lot of inspiration, I'm sure.
No, absolutely. So, you know, being from New York City and being like an artist here, I think it's one of the best things, but also it's like, in a way, I'm not going to say one of the worst, but there's tons of competition. I think a lot of people understand that. But, you know, just in terms of like just some inspiration for me, like artists that I really look up to here that I currently like really, really look up to is Gashy, one of my favorite artists. Love him so much. Obviously, I have to show some love to the greats too. So like Hove, I grew up with the Bee Gees. I grew up with a lot of things like that. Nas. But those are just some people that I really, really look up to right now that I currently like tune into every day.
Being in like a city where there is a lot of like competition, do you feel like it's more like the culture in New York City? Is it more competitive than it is like, you know, supportive? Or like, do you feel like you can like kind of come across anyone? It's more like a community.
Yeah. So I always say this, but like, I think it's really funny. So like in New York City, everyone says like they're famous. You know what I'm saying? Anyone could say they're famous in New York City now because everyone can go around running around with a blue check on Instagram saying they got all these things, all these connections, all these numbers. And to your point, I do believe that New York City is in competition with one another a lot. And I think no one wants to support one another because everyone's just so quick to like rise to like the top. And they want to do it like by themselves. And I think it's kind of sad to say in a way, because it's just like, why can't we work together to reach this common goal? You know what I'm saying? So I always look at like a lot of down south rappers. They bring each other up and they're a community, which is why they always like succeed and do so well. But in New York City, it's always just like 50% of people like hate, 40% of people watching, and then 10% of people like actually support. And I feel like that's how it always is, especially in this industry, especially as an artist. You know, people always look at you and they don't really care. I always say like the people who are like probably closest to your friends aren't going to support you as much because they always know you. It's always those people who don't know you as an artist are probably going to really support you, listen to your music and be like, wow, like this person has something to bring. Because I feel like when people get a little too comfortable and they know you too much, they're just like, oh, like I've known him since high school. He's just doing music. But like, right. I don't understand. Like once they start seeing you do like bigger things and you start getting bigger accolades and bigger placements, then they all start hopping on the bandwagon. They're like, oh, wow, like congratulations. And they still won't even support. They'll still they'll love you like in privacy, but they'll never support you and even like post like anything about you. And it's just like, all right, right. It is what it is. But that's something you definitely do see here a lot. But like I said, I'm very grateful for like the people who do support me and continue to support me, because I think that's the people I want to really like, you know, pound on to keep going and making music with.
Definitely. Yeah. Shout out to the true fans. You know, like I feel like
facts.
Sometimes people will support you because it's popular to support you. You know, that's honestly, I think some like super hating ass shit, you know, like just show love. Like it's not that hard. But yeah, it's like people in some cases will have like a vision of like the type of person that they think you are. And like, you know, it's kind of like disappointing when, you know, you're kind of like going out of your way, actually like accomplishing things. And, you know, it reminds a lot of people about who they really are. You know, people who would much rather be in a position like yours, and like, you know, they can't really do anything other than to like, you know, hate for real. And that's really disappointing. And I think I've seen that in like way too many like cities. It's just, I guess like at a certain level, you know, you kind of just have to like go through that. But, you know, I'm glad to see that, you know, you're doing your own thing, you know, making fire music, you know, making some like some bangers without really necessarily even needing that. And that's really all it comes down to, like being who you are, regardless of how other people feel.
No, I appreciate it, man. And that's all it is. Like, I always tell people, like artists, like I feel like a lot of artists always get so caught up on like numbers and how they look and this. And I'm like, man, just be yourself. Like, just be yourself. Like, know the tools that you can utilize to make yourself extremely popular. Like, I always say this, but you need money to make money. So, like, if you don't have the money to invest in yourself, it's okay to, like, save a lot of money before dropping anything, because you can have, like, an amazing song But it's not going to go anywhere if you don't have the proper like foundation behind it to even like promote it between like marketing, like public relations, and like just Spotify marketing, Apple Music marketing, like ads. Like if you don't have the money, like your song is probably going to go nowhere unless you get really lucky on like TikTok or someone else sees it. And I feel like a lot of artists wait for that moment way too much. And like, oh, this is the song that's going to get me out. But it goes nowhere because like no one knows who you are and you're not pushing the song. So if it's not going to go anywhere, then why are you going to drop something? I always tell this to like a lot of independent artists because I've heard tons of independent artists that I know who have like amazing music. I'm like, this is like really dope. Like this could be like a top 50 song, but you just don't have like the leverage or like the resources at the moment to like make it what it can actually like be. And it's sad, right? Because like a lot of people really want to like grind, but I don't think they know how to like properly like utilize these things and actually like put the grind towards their hobbies. While like, you know, I feel like finances is a really major, major problem, I think, with a lot of people, especially when it comes to being an independent artist and just in general. So definitely don't really know how to allocate money towards different places.
Like the creation process is only like a small part of what it takes to be an artist for real. Like, you know, you go to the studio, you record, you have to work with like producers. Like there is that creativity aspect of being an artist. But like, I feel like going back to what you're saying, I definitely think a lot of artists are like neglecting like the business aspects of like what it takes to become a true artist. Yeah. Like everyone wants to blow up. But in reality, that's like such a vague goal. Like, what does that mean? Like, blow up, sign to a label, blow up and like, you know, become an influencer. Like, you know, I feel like a lot of artists will reach these points and then they'll get to a place where they're just not necessarily certain with how to maneuver their brand, their music business.
And like, it's unfortunate because you do see that. And like, to your point, like, I agree with you. I think the music is just one portion. Like, perfect example, right? Like, Jack Harlow. Love Jack Harlow. Shout out to Nemo. I always talk to Nemo. He's part of his team. Great dude, right? But like I look at Jack Harlow, right? Like his music is really good. So I love Jack Harlow's music. But like if you look at his music is just one portion of him. Like now if you look at like the regular portion of Jack Harlow and who he is as a person, like the people love him. You see? Like it's more than that. Like your music is one part, but the people really knowing who you are and like what you are about and like the sponsorships and endorsements, like that's the things that also like add up and adds like your longevity as an artist. So like, you can't just make music and just not be like the artist. You know what I'm saying? Like people just want to make music and expect themselves to blow up, but you have to be like this icon that people can really look up to. Like what makes you different? What makes you like stand out compared to everyone else? You have to have like that it factor pretty much. Like, you know, like that, like what they say in The Voice, you have the voice, but you have to have like that it factor. I think that makes you stand out to make sure like the whole world can love you.
Yeah, it's definitely like a puzzle. You gotta have all the pieces. Can't just have like the music. Like a lot of people who have like really good music are like definitely like more often than not neglecting other parts of like, you know, their business. Like when it comes to like what it really is needed to become like that level of artist.
Yeah.
But
I agree.
For sure. Being in the military, like thank you for your service by the way. How do you think that's like impacted your music? Like do you have any energy that you put into your music that, you know, you have picked up during your service?
Yeah, so thank you for your support. I appreciate those words, man. I guess I always tell people, like, if it wasn't for you guys, like, I wouldn't be here. I just, you know, I do it for the people. That's the most important thing to me. And I always say I think that reflects a lot on my music. I always tell people, like, you know, I'm not doing this just for me. I'm doing this for my community. I do this for my family. I do this for everyone. So, like, I want to be able to give like people a platform that they can talk on and use, you know, from me. And I always say, like, I always call myself the voice of Southside Brooklyn because, like, I want everyone in Southside Brooklyn to know who I am, and I want them to show, like, hey, if you work hard enough, like, you can get out. Like, there's not just this little area that we're in. There's so much more the world can offer you if you really work towards it. But to your question, I do believe to maybe, like, an extent there is maybe some influence from, like, my military career to my music career. I'm going to say like the discipline of things, maybe like the time management, like just the way I like things. So I'm very like punctual when it comes to certain things. I have like timestamps on everything when I work on projects. So I'm a very punctual person when it comes to these things. I like things to be extremely organized. And I think like just the discipline and continuing on and just, you know, moving forward with all these projects and songs and like just that mindset, like just keep pushing, really comes and brings a long way from the military aspect. With this new song that I dropped with Dave East, a lot of people actually said, like, I always tell people, I think this is the most of me, like, in a song. And I feel like a lot of people don't understand, like, a lot of things that I went through. So I was like, I try to make it as personable as possible. And it's funny how, like, the way the song actually came, like, into fruition in my head, I was actually listening to Notorious B.I.G. in my car. And then I was listening to, like, a couple beats, and in my head I was just like, they want to be like me, Notorious and B.I.G. So I just kept that line, and I was just like, oh, I like that. That's pretty dope. But I was like, I heard the beat that Jack produced at the time. I kind of put it all together, and I was like, oh, no, I want people to know me a little bit. I want them to feel like I'm just like them, and I'm not as different. Even though I have this platform, right? The song is kind of like, not contradiction, but like, it kind of shows that, like, okay, I'm at this level, but like, hey guys, I'm also like with you guys. Like, I've been in exactly in your shoes. So like, I know how you guys are feeling. So here's just a little bit of me. And I kind of just talk about, obviously, in the song, how, you know, a lot of people in New York City are in competition. And, you know, I have, everyone struggles with mental health, and it's, I think, a constant battle with a lot of people.
That's dope. I like that. And shout out to Jack Hayes. Definitely like a pretty fire producer. How did you come across his, like, his beats? Or like, how did you reach out to him to work?
No. So I actually really love this story. So at the time, I was just making new music in the studio. And I was talking originally at the time to someone who was trying to help me get a feature with Dave East. So we were speaking about it. I said, I want a feature with him. I want to get this worked out, this, and that. And then once we started getting that worked out, I actually started making songs that I wanted to send over to Davies in the studio. None of them were like really clicking with me, and I felt like it wasn't like me. And they were cool songs. I think they were cool concepts, but I just took a little break on the studio. I was like, all right, I just want to relax for a second and just scroll through TikTok for a little bit. And I just think, I really do believe like everything happens for a reason. So I was scrolling that day through TikTok, and I literally like, I don't know what it was, because, you know, obviously your phone listens to what you say and what you search up, but I was looking for beats, and I thought it was very interesting how I was scrolling, and I saw this Jack Harlow times Camila Sabello beat, and it happened to be Jack, and I thought it was really funny, so I listened to it, and I was like, wow, like, I really, really want this, and I kind of put, like, the lyric that I have, they want to be like me, Notorious, and B.I.G., all in that same little bracket when I heard the beat, and I was like, wow, I could really do a lot with this. It's just so upbeat. It sounds like inspirational. It's super colorful. I think it's really dope. But I couldn't use the sample that he originally had because it wasn't cleared. So I hit him up, and I was like, hey, man, like, I want this beat, like, ASAP. Like, I need this beat. And like, I don't think he got back to me on time. I remember, I think he might have said this in one of your interviews, but I literally bought out his stems instantly on the track when he sent it to me. But I think when I bought it out, he replaced it with an actual cleared sample. So when I got the beat that day in the studio, I rapped over it and everything. And when I was talking to my engineer, he was just like, this is the one that needs to go to Dave East. Because it flew so instant. Like, I literally recorded it and wrote it in like 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Wrote everything out, recorded it. It was already mixed and mastered. Wasn't the final mix and master, but it was just like a quick one that we were going to send to his team. And I was like, I sat on it for a little bit. I sat on it maybe for about a week, and then I told Jack, and I was like, hey man, like, I'm gonna get Dave East on this track. Like, I definitely want to get Dave East on this, and I think it's gonna be like an amazing song. And like I said, at first, I always say this when a lot of people ask me this, but I don't think he knew how like serious I was at first, because usually like producers, and it's unfortunate, a lot of producers kind of get a lot of artists that hit them up for like free beats, and they say they're gonna do this and that and the fourth with the beat, and it never comes into fruition. But like I said, if people know me, like, I'm a go-getter, and I like to see things come into fruition. So made the project happen, got the song with Dave East, and I sent that. I was always keeping him updated with every step of the process, and I made sure like he felt included with everything. And then, yeah, like, song came, everything like came into fruition, and I made a couple mix and masters, and boom, pretty much sent it over to Jack, and he was like, holy crap, like, this is really happening right now. But I think we were both really, really both excited, because, you know, I think he said it was one of his biggest placements, and it definitely was my biggest placement. So I was really excited, and I was really glad I was able to share this experience with him, because it was definitely unreal for both of us. And I'm really glad I met Jack, because now I have like a connection with him. And my next song that's going to come out, you know, it's a little teaser for everyone, but my next song that's going to come out is actually it's going to be produced by Jack again. So, yeah.
For sure, yeah. I like that you actually like kept him in the loop though. Like, I know a lot of artists will like just get a beat, you know, either like email it to them or like maybe just buy it, and then like the producer won't know until like the song drops. So like that's dope that you kept them like, you know, involved in that process. I think a lot of producers would honestly like appreciate that. Like I think it's just cool to be involved. You know, like it's cool when you get like a placement, but like, you know, being involved in that degree is definitely something special.
Yeah, and business wise, that's important. I think with any artist, I don't understand like where there's always such like a disconnection and people just don't want to pay. Like it's just like, man, like just own up to it. Like you're gonna get what you get. Like you have to, if you're gonna pay for something, and this person is part of like a vision that you're bringing to life, they should be like with you along this whole entire ride. Like the way I look at it is like, if I'm getting all these placements and all these wins, like you're gonna come up with me. I'm always gonna shout you out. I'm always gonna bring you into the picture because you help bring that project into fruition. And that's just me as an artist. That's just the way like I like to do business. Like I feel like I'm very fair. I always like to bring everyone in with me who worked on it to the top, because without those people, will the song really be as good? You see what I'm saying? Like that's just how I look at things. But I know a lot of people don't, because a lot of people really do be stingy and trying to scam. But that's not me. That's not me at all.
So like being in New York City while like COVID was happening, like there were a lot of lockdowns, especially like in a big city like New York. Like is that a time that you took to like really develop your sound? Like what was the landscape almost of like artists? Like how were people moving given like those limitations? Like were people like connecting more, like locking in, like building? Or did you take this more as like a time personally to like develop your sound?
No, so like yeah, for me, since I was gone for some time, it's not like I didn't practice like rapping and trying to like get better at my craft. I want to say like now where I currently am, like I'm a lot more comfortable on a microphone and I feel like I just continuously get better. So when I first got back home, I dropped like a project called Rear, which is not, it's not really like Rear, it's Veer. It's just spelled in like Jedi language. So it looks like Rear, but it was kind of like my first take on, I think, where I wanted to go musically with my sound. And the whole thing was like, I wanted to switch scenes. You know, a lot of people weren't taking me serious. So I made sure everything like fell into place. Like I made sure I had like all the public relations and got like my verification. All that had to come into place when I was dropping this project to make me look like I'm that much more of a serious artist. And I think that was like the most important thing. I wanted people to see that I'm doing this major switch. So when I first came back home, I worked on that project for a little bit. I like the project, but I think it's, in my head, like if I can go back and redo some of the things, I would do a lot of things differently, because obviously that's just me as an artist. I like to, as we grow, we get to see a lot of like the things that we didn't like in our older music. So during the time though, like to your point, I used it honestly to create music, try to find my sound, experiment a little bit, learn how like to use my voice a little more. And then as I just continuously practiced and got better during the pandemic, my songs just gradually got better. So yeah, that's pretty much it. I used that time mostly to just work on myself, work on like the back end stuff to pretty much develop me and have like this basic foundation of like an artist. Between, like I said, the public relations, the marketing, et cetera, things like that. Working on my music to make sure it sounds a lot better than my older music. Getting music professionally mixed and mastered, because a lot of my older music wasn't. A lot of people wouldn't know that because, you know, to an average listener, some people don't know that.
I mean, like, most people won't tell, but, like, once you start making music, it's, like, in my personal experience, like, as a producer and, like, other artists, or, like, producers I've talked to as well, that you get to this point where, like, you start to hear, like, you never have heard before. So like your standards for like hearing something is definitely way different to like an average consumer of music. Like you can hear like the fine details, you can hear like the gain and compression in certain things.
Yeah.
So like that's dope. Like that's like a huge step that a lot of artists, like, you know, I feel like are going,
yeah, absolutely,
in some cases kind of afraid to take. So it's cool to see that, like, you know, you actually like care that much. Like you'll go to like a studio, work with an engineer, get your stuff mastered. That's like, that's key for like, you know, professional like artistry. Well, last question for you, Case. Do you have any words of inspiration for artists that are like, you know, in a similar position or are looking to get to where you are?
Absolutely. So I always tell everyone, as an artist, make sure like you're surrounded by the right people, because the right people are always going to be there for you no matter what. I think when it comes to being an independent artist, people can't be afraid to invest in themselves and take risks. So what I mean by this, I always say like three or four things, right? Three things. Like, it's okay to get a normal job, a 9-to-5, or get a really good job, because in this music world, your life and your music and your work isn't always going to be a guaranteed paycheck. I think it's important to have a career and multiple sources of income. I think that is the number one thing. I feel like people get really stuck on trying to really make the music thing work, but then don't have the resources. I know we were talking about this earlier, but being broke isn't fun. No one wants to be broke. I think being broke is whack. Get a job, right? Fund your music, fund your hobbies, save. Like, that's all important. Like, get a job that's going to give you like this 401k, get the stocks, get all the things that you want, because that all adds up when you're older. You know, you always have to, I'm not saying you always have to have a plan B, but you should definitely have a plan B. That's just the way I look at things. I'm not an all, like, you know, all eggs in one basket type person. You have to have just multiple revenues and multiple ways to make money, and especially a solid career. I think that's going to have you forever make money. And it's not just about you. It's about your kids. It's about your legacy. So that's like my first thing, you know, just it's okay to humble yourself and get a normal job. Or get a good job, not even just like a normal job. Get a really good job to help save, fund your money, you know, get yourself well-founded and foundation, like, done. And then continue to just move on with life. Two, you know, when people want to, you know, learn music and get into music, I feel like they don't know that there's so many resources that you can utilize to make yourself just a better artist. A lot of people use, like, just, like, a little the little boost feature on Instagram and story posts, but... You know, for people who don't know this, if you're an artist, like Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, and Facebook, you know, all have their own marketing platform for people to use. You can grow as an artist as fast as you want, an independent artist at least, you can grow as fast or slow as you want. All these platforms have these marketing tools that allow you to grow as quick or slow as you want to. I feel like a lot of people don't know that because they were just never told, you know? So all these platforms that you have, like Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, Facebook, because Facebook is obviously connected with Instagram, you can put ads toward your account. It doesn't have to be a lot. Even if you're putting like $300 or $400 a month into it, or even $100 a month, you're still growing gradually because now you have a new people coming into like you. So that's my second word of advice. You know, use the resources that you currently have around you. Make sure you have a job. And then I guess like three is just, you know, make sure you always, no matter what, like stay true to yourself. Don't stop, because a lot of people really get like deterred, I guess, from, you know, where they are. And I feel like a lot of people don't understand that, like, you know, this is not what I thought it was going to be. But if you don't stop and you continuously grow, I'm a very, very big believer that hard work just beats talent every time. You, like, no matter how hard it gets, like, just keep pushing through, because you never know what's going to be on the other side.
Word. That's some great advice. I think a lot of people need to hear that. You know, I think a lot of people put their eggs in one basket with this music grind. You know, without like necessarily considering like other aspects of their lives. So that's dope. You know, like hard work definitely works hard, harder than talent if talent's not working hard. So that's dope. Yeah, appreciate you. You know, taking some time. You know, putting us on game, and like, you know, being on the show.
No, I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Like I said, you know, if anyone's listening, I hope you at least learned a little bit something about me. My Instagram is Casey Incle, CaseyIncle. But yeah, this has been an amazing opportunity. I love talking a lot, so I'm sorry, but I always like to help people and pretty much myself a lot, so.